I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. She has a history, this Samaritan woman. Things done or left undone, some good, some not so good. She has fears, wounds and sorrows, secrets. She is a woman with a past. She is generally thought of as promiscuous. She's had 5 husbands after all, and now lives with a man who is not her husband. She is looked at by her neighbours, and yet not really seen. She's labelled, and yet nameless. Many people know of her, and yet she is unknown. Unknown by all except one. Jesus knows her. What did he see when he looked upon this lonely figure making her weary way to the well in the heat of the day? She didn't come with the other women, laughing and gossiping in the cooler evening. She came alone, unseen, away perhaps from the prying eyes and sharp judgmental tongues. Well, on the surface, he saw a person to be avoided at all costs. Her particular circumstances aside, she was a Samaritan, and a good Jew would certainly not want to speak to one of them. And she was a woman. No Jewish man would feel it right to initiate a conversation with her. But Jesus knows her. And as so often, he casts aside the expectations of his age, and he reaches out to her, unloved and alone as she is. We don't know any more of her story, whether her husbands died or whether they divorced her. As a woman, of course, she had no right to divorce them. But her life has clearly been one of great sadness. 5 times left alone, 5 times facing an uncertain future, 5 times picking herself up and starting again. Jesus knew this. He knew her. So what does he do? First, he asks the unthinkable, "Give me a drink." "But you're a Jew," she tells him. "Surely you won't drink water I draw for you." If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Like so often happens, the woman takes Jesus literally. "How can you get water?" she asks. "You don't even have a bucket." Jesus tries again. "Those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty." And again, she takes him literally. "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This doesn't change until Jesus shows her that he truly knows her. He tells her the things of which she is perhaps most ashamed. She calls him a prophet, and finally, she looks beyond the literal. She knows the Messiah is coming, she says, and now she wonders if she has found him. Rushing back to the town, she shouts, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he?" And what does this woman's story have to tell us? Well, just as Jesus values the Samaritan woman, so we are called to set aside our preconceptions and value those around us, wherever they come from, whatever they have or do not have. Each is a child of God, a person of worth, one for whom the Son of God was prepared to lay down his life. They are precious in his sight and should be precious in ours too. And Jesus didn't simply mete out charity to this woman. He was prepared to acknowledge his need for her help. He asked her for something that she could give, for water from the well, which he could not himself reach. In admitting our need for others, we show them we value them. By accepting hospitality, or asking for help or their prayers, we show others, even those who have little, that they are needed. By asking as well as offering, we help others grow in self-respect. In knowing that they are valued, we level the playing field a little. There are lessons for us in this, especially at the moment, when we need one another and need to look out for one another more than ever. But there is more. We also see ourselves as the Samaritan woman. She mirrors for us our own lives, in that we too are people with a past. We may not be outcast or stranger, but neither are we perfect. We all have memories of things we wish we had not done, regrets and sadnesses we carry with us through our lives, burdens that can at times seem too heavy to bear alone, and yet we are too fearful to share them. This woman's story gives us hope, for we, like her, are loved and valued. She's not only an example to us that Jesus is for me too, though. More than this, she is also one who helps bring others to the love and acceptance of Christ. The message she has to share is so compelling, she's prepared to leave her water jug behind in order to tell her tale more quickly. I wonder if we, like this Samaritan, tell others so freely of the love and hope we find through the grace of God in Christ. And she finds her voice in the telling of her tale. This woman, living on the fringes of society, would normally avoid a public role wherever possible. But her excitement in discovering Jesus wins out over her usual reticence, enabling her to speak with authority and enthusiasm. Can we, like her, find a voice to speak of God? Can we talk about him as the friend and saviour we believe him to be? Are we prepared to set aside our own reticence to speak openly of our faith? But her confidence and her desire to share this story all come back to that knowing. The Samaritan woman is amazed at being known. She realizes there is something more to this man who asks her for water. Against all the social and religious rules of the day, it feels as if there is nothing he does not know. He told me everything I have ever done, she tells her neighbors. And we too are known, utterly and completely. And like this woman, we are not shunned or condemned for our imperfections. On the contrary, God comes to us in his Son and leads us home. He forgives our waywardness and loves those parts of us we ourselves find unlovable. It is a knowing and a loving so free and so boundless that we find it almost impossible to comprehend. And when exhaustion and fear and self-doubt threaten to overwhelm us, his arms are still there, reaching out in love to catch us. As we journey on through Lent, especially this Lent, which has brought us so many uncertainties and fears, let's try to remember that we are known and loved beyond measure, that whatever we do or fail to do, whatever we are or have been, whatever the world throws our way, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes, we have a history. Things done or left undone, some good, some not so good. We have fears, wounds and sorrows, secrets. We are all people with a past. We also have joys and hopes, moments when we know our value, memories of good as well as bad. And we have fears for the present and for the future. But in all this, we are known. We are known. And we are loved, and nothing can take that away. Amen.